Welcome into the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL, Acadian Windows, official window company of the Hoodat Nation. I'm Seth Dunlap, former Saints offensive lineman Steve Kortz here in the Saints. Well, in the middle of this stretch, you'd think they get a break from all of these Super Bowl contenders. Well, maybe not a Super Bowl contender today, Steve, but they're going up to a 5-3 Bengals team that has a real opportunity here to make the playoffs for the eighth time under Marvin Lewis, and everybody's throwing around trap game. I don't think this is a trap game. I think they're aware of this team they're going up there to face in a few hours.
Well, you can certainly understand why there's some that will think it's a trap game just because of the way it's set up. I mean, you come off a big, a win against a team that the Rams last week that was supposedly the best team, since sliced bread this year, and we put it on them pretty good last week. It was a tough game, but look, then you coupled up with the fact that you have the Super Bowl champs from last year, sort of sandwiched in between here is Cincinnati, and I think that's why people are thinking that this is could be something that we could possibly overlook, and I'm not buying that. I never have. That's something you can get caught up with in maybe a college football atmosphere, but I think in the pro football atmosphere, the way the weeks are broken down and your focus is that's hard to do, and I don't think you could certainly come out flat, but that could happen for any game. But I can tell you that right now that 5-3, I don't know anybody would be looking at that record thinking that somehow, some way, this is a team that could possibly be overlooked. If you look at them statistically and what they do, they don't do anything great. Other than the fact they have some really good players that can absolutely hurt you, and obviously, even though they don't have these statistically, they're not real good. As far as the numbers stack up for them, other than the fact that they've won some good football games. So that's the way you got to look at it. You're playing in their home field. It's on the road. Anytime you you go out of town, it's that in and of itself is a challenge. And look, you got them in their backyard and they're ready to go. And they're thinking, hey, we've got the Saints coming to town. This is our measuring stick. So you can best believe that they're going to be up for it. So, it'd be a far cry for me to think this is any kind of a trap game.
That is Kortz's take as we get you started here on Saints game day. And it is about 3 hours and 50 minutes away from kickoff and our Oakland Heart Rolex time right there, brought to you by Oakland Hearts. And Steve, again, this is a 5-3 team that not a lot of people would think. Well, they have been consistently a playoff contender. Now, we all know they haven't won a playoff game under Marvin Lewis, but this has been over the past decade plus. And you wouldn't think this if you look out across the league, but really one of the more consistently good franchises in the National Football League. And Marvin Lewis almost got run out of town last year. He stabilized things there, like you pointed out, and we'll get into this later in the show. Yeah. They're not great at anything. And in fact, they're bad at a lot of things. Right. But I think that's a credit to the coaching staff, their game planning, and really Andy Dalton, who's having maybe his best and most efficient year of his career.
Look, they're just one of those teams that's under the radar. They don't do anything flashy, except they kind of just keep hanging around and keep hanging around, and then they'll make a play on you at the end there, and they'll end up pulling out the game. And so they kind of remain this enigma of a team that is kind of just floating around out there, that is capable of I look at the team, and it's one of those teams that you would overlook, and I think a lot of people overlook them. I mean, it's Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
And
which I think is a mistake, right?
No, it'd be a huge mistake. Yeah. You can't do that. And again, that just to let the fans know and people that can hear me out there, it's not a it's just not a thing that in pro football is each and every week you go, oh, it's Cincinnati. I mean, no, this is each and every week. You have a big-time breakdown for every single team, and it doesn't matter which city they're from. You approach all the games the same way, and you break down teams the same way. You install plays the same way. You do your film analysis from the standpoint of what's going to work against, what's not going to work against, what's their strengths, what's their weaknesses, where can we exploit them, where can we, what are the potential breakdowns for us here, what do we got to watch for? And you take all those things into consideration each and every week. And so it's not like something you say, oh, well, we can just do the same old thing. We go out there and, hey, Drew, call up a few plays and let's see if we can burn them. No, that just doesn't work that way. So, look, they've got some guys on defense that can hurt you. They really do. And look, Carlos Dunlap, the guy's always up there every year in sacks. And again, this year, I think he is. I think he's already got, I don't know, a whole handful of sacks.
Geno Atkins has six.
Geno Atkins has six from the inside, which again is, he's Aaron Donald, but just a little bit, kind of a different flavor of Aaron Donald. But I'm telling you what, very active, very powerful, same kind of build, same kind of explosiveness. Not quite as refined, but nevertheless can still make those same kind of plays. But look, they've got some guys on defense, and obviously they've got some guys on offense. Now, A.J. Green's not there, we know that. But Andy Dalton can flat get it done. Like I said before, he's kind of streaky. But when he's on, he's on. And he's certainly got some guys that they're gonna replace, A.J. Green and the wideouts and stuff that they have with Boyd and whatnot. But, look, their running backs, Mixon is a guy that can flat get it done. And then Bernard is a good, sort of a test there. Another, change of flavor there today. So he's back, and he's going to have some fresh legs. So, look, they're going to have some tools there. And, obviously, they've got a lot of motivation. The Saints are coming in. Okay, this is going to be something where this is
– the hunted,
yeah,
as Bobby likes to
is,
say.
This is Who Dat against Who Day. And Who Day,
rip off.
Very, very, very watered down version of,
yeah,
of the truth. So we need to set that straight today.
It's a battle of the Who's.
Right.
Battle of the Who's here. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. Seth Dunlap and Steve Court here. And this is your show. This is the most interactive Saints pregame show out there because open lines the entire 2 hours at 504-260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870, and the text line is 870-870. And let's get this out of the way right at the top here. The Saints wide receiver depth, as Cameron Meredith goes on IR, we know that they brought in Dez here. He was here for 24 hours. He goes on IR. So now they brought up Keith Kirkwood. They have Mike Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith, Austin Carr, and Keith Kirkwood. That's who they're working with on the outside. Is this depth the problem right now? I don't see it that way because they've been so explosive with these guys. Everybody's acting like the Dez Bryant injury. Not everybody. Let me rephrase that, Steve, before I get myself in trouble. Right. Not everybody, but I saw a pretty significant portion of the Saints fan base freaking out when Dez Bryant's it was reported that he tore his Achilles. Now, I feel terrible for Dez.
Right.
But this offense, I think people were hibernating or something. I guess they didn't have Dez this whole time. They've been fine without him. I think they'll continue to be fine.
Well, it was an anomaly because we never got to use him, so you don't know what it would have been. You can imagine what it would have been, but you just don't know because you don't know how he would have fit there. You don't know. Obviously, he and Drew would have found the chemistry at some point because they're two good pro football players. And look, Drew Brees makes everybody look good. So,
right.
Look, it's like Tom Brady. How many times does Tom Brady have these wide receivers that are these sort of pedestrian guys that come off the street that you never heard of? I mean, other than Gronkowski, I mean, come on, Edelman was a running back. I mean, not a running back, but a quarterback at one point. So, look, we've got great wide receivers. Michael Thomas is an absolute star. Tre'Quan Smith is a star in the making. And Austin Carr, we've seen him. Tom Brady saw him. The new guy we got off the practice
Kirkwood,
squad, Kirkwood. Yeah. Look, all these guys are there because they can play football. And they can really – they're really good football players. They just haven't got their shot yet. So to think that somehow, some way we're, lacking there, and now, boy, now we got to worry about our depth. No. I don't see that as being a problem at all. Look, I feel terrible for Dez Bryant. I think that he would have been a great addition, and obviously Sean Payton and the rest of them thought so as well because that's why they brought him on there. They're not going to bring somebody up here and get somebody on the squad that they don't feel like is somebody that can contribute right away. And they felt that he was a guy that, hey, it'd be great to have him these last eight games going into the playoffs and hey, maybe bigger and better things. Great big physical wide receiver, big strong guy that we've seen him for years. He takes the ball away. When it's in the air, it's his. He takes it away, and he makes great catches. And, look, been much maligned from several different reasons, but sometimes a change of venue is all it takes for a guy to sort of, get to hit his stride again, and now he's sort of surrounded. I told you about that last week with – the Cesar Millan thing. You take sort of the unruly dog and you put him with the other dogs at the dog park. And his dog
done that with mine.
And
yeah,
they pretty much come back and they're they're all well adjusted dogs. So, in any event, I think look, I wish we'd had him, and I feel bad for him. He'll come back from this. I mean, look, he's a wideout, and he's still a very young guy that is obviously in really good shape all the time. But like anything else, when you've been off for the last several weeks, and then you begin to push your body to the limits of going full speed, which is totally different than actually practicing or running routes or doing all that kind of stuff in your off season or even preparing for this. When you start really making the moves and doing the things you got to do to play football, it puts your body under very much undue stress. And then when that happens, soft tissue injuries, they pop up all over the place. So the fact that he tore his Achilles is really sort of one of those things is indicative of that.
Yeah, really unlucky for Dez. Quick text from the 504. Will Tommy Lee Lewis be back soon? He is eligible to come off the injured reserve. He's already back to practice here. Probably we'll see him by the Atlanta game if they want him to bring him back. And remember, Ted Ginn Jr. also eligible in a few weeks to come back off of IR. We'll see what they do there. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, the Saints defense.
Hey, we'll take him. We'll take him.
Oh, yeah.
Great additions. Come on, bring him back.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. The Saints defense is going to be – will they be tested by the Cincinnati offense? I don't know about that. I'll explain
Saints
why.
Defense playing is pretty strong now. I don't know, Seth. But they're going to be tested because each and every week that the offenses are good. So, yeah.
Yep, we'll talk about it. Coming back, he's Steve Court, Seth Dunlap here on the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL.
Goff trying to communicate with the line. He's going to have to walk up. 15 on the play clock.
Saints short.
Lines
A-gap.
All struggling A-gap to hear. Crowd's getting louder. Saints show pressure. Goff takes the shotgun snap, drops back. He's under pressure, throws it, knocked away! P.J. Williams on Brandon Cooks, knocked away! The Saints defense holds!
Big play by P.J. Williams. Welcome back to the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Also, your local Super Chevy dealer wishes to thank all veterans today for your service. So thank you.
Thank them every day.
Yes, and we would like to pass that along as well. So P.J. Williams, he was much maligned in that first half.
Much maligned. That poor kid, I tell you what, they constantly go after him.
Yes.
And look, you know they're going to.
Kind of have to with the guys back there.
Look, when you sort of break down the defense of the Saints and you try to find ways that there's a chink in the armor somewhere, that's what sticks out. However, the more that you keep sort of picking on that guy, at some point, you keep poking the beast with the stick, he's going to bite you. And yeah.
Yeah, this Rams team doesn't have the weapons that they have faced with the Vikings and Thielen and Stephon Diggs and, of course, last week with Cooks and everybody there for Los Angeles. Now, no A.J. Green here for the Bengals. And P.J. Williams, who, again, he's been playing pretty darn good. I don't think a lot of Saints fans realize that, except for that first half against Minnesota. He talked about what they're going to see without A.J. Green with that Bengals offense.
Their offense is moving quite well, especially with Joe Mixon being more involved in their offense. So when they hit the red zone, it's definitely going to be on us to try and put a clamp on Joe Mixon as well as focus on, their remaining wide receiver threats. It sort of helps when you don't have the main one there.
It's going to help the Saints defense. There's no doubt about that. He spoke about Mixon, but from a receiving standpoint, this is going to be, if you're the Bengals, a little tough nut to crack here, the Saints defense, I think.
Well, the Saints defense has been playing better and better each week. I mean, and the fact that they have sort of stepped up to now where they're just, they're hard. Who would have thought last week that we'd have shut down Todd Gurley like that? I mean, we flat shut the Rams down again. He made some couple of big runs, but he didn't break anything. He get 66 yards, something crazy like that? That's pretty strong work. And the fact that you can put a team like that and do what they did to us. So, look, that was that was a great one of the best football games I've seen in quite some time. But look, Tyler Boyd, just because A.J. Green's not going to get him, Tyler Boyd's sort of their next guy. He's kind of their go-to guy, and as far as getting it done through the air. And not only that, but Mixon is a guy that they throw a ball to a lot, and Bernard does the same way. They use those two backs kind of the way we use Ingram and Kamara. From the standpoint, you're going to see these guys in a lot of wheel routes, a lot of stuff out of the backfield, and they try to stretch you in the sidelines to sort of get out there. But look, it's this is going to be a tough nut for them. And talking about Cincinnati now, if we get up on them pretty quickly and we begin to sort of getting the Red Rifles face a little bit. We could pull away with this pretty quickly, but it's going to be a tough sled.
Indeed. You mentioned Tyler Boyd. That is indeed right now his top target. 49 receptions for Boyd, 5 touchdowns on the year. Offensively, pretty balanced. 13th in yards per play, 17th passing, 26th rushing. Just not the elite offenses we've seen the last few weeks the Saints defense is going up against. We got to take a break here for news, throwing it over to Don Ames. When we come back, Mike Dettillier is going to hop on in, and we're going to talk about Geno Atkins, Steve, and just how good he is and how unexpectedly good he is.
Look, because I watch all those guys. I watch all that interior stuff. That's sort of my deal.
Indeed. Yeah. So Mike Dettillier coming in next here on the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. Welcome back into the Acadian Windows Fans First Take here. Saints game day, Saints Bengals coming up in just a few hours here on WWL. Steve Court, he stepped aside, and on in comes Mike Dettillier to give us his draft day reflections, brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center of the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center here on WWL. And Mike, boy, lots of talent, especially offensively, on both sides of this game for the Saints and, for the Bengals too.
Yeah, but, you know, the problem with the Bengals is the most talented player they have, A.J. Green, won't be playing. You know, he's one of the elite receivers in this game. There's no question about it. And then, you know, they had one of the better tight ends in the league when he was healthy in Tyler Eifert, and he gets hurt earlier in the year. So, man, that pitch and catch part of the game, which had been, you know, huge for Cincinnati, you got two big cogs taken completely out of there with not having Eifert and not also having one of the best receivers in the NFL in A.J. Green. Andy Dalton's one of these guys that plays really well at home, Seth. I'm just telling you, I can't explain why. You get him on the road, he has been highly erratic, but he has been good throwing the football in Cincinnati, and this is one of those type games after you've played this gauntlet that, man, you know, it's tough to get this team up to play Cincinnati. You know, hey, we're going to Cincinnati and play. Okay, man, we just finished with the Rams, the Vikings, the Ravens, the Redskins. We're going to Cincinnati. It's a focus game for the Saints. They've got some talent still on this football team, and we'll see how much Tyler Boyd can fit the fill the shoes of A.J. Green. Them moccasins is pretty big, though. Yeah,
indeed. I want to reflect back to the 2017 draft because it's interesting. In your draft book, you had Alvin Kamara right in front of Joe Mixon, and obviously those two guys are going to be featured today.
Yeah, you know, I thought Alvin would go in the first couple picks in round two. I didn't know about Joe, only because of the off-the-field issues that he had, and they got you on tape doing it. And that really was the deal. Once, you know, you saw just how violent that was, a lot of teams took him completely off the board. I do know the Saints like Joe Mixon a lot. And, you know, Joe is a big-time back. I mean, he's almost 6'1", 230 pounds. He's a thunder back. But he's also got an extra gear in space and can catch the football extremely well. He was one of the most highly recruited halfbacks in the country when he came out of the California high school ranks. He told me in leading up to the draft and working out that he almost went to Alabama. I mean, that's all they needed was to have Joe Mixon there. And here's the best part. Alvin Kamara was there.
Right.
So, I mean, it was unreal that he almost ended up there. And again, when you saw him on the field, he tilted the field. He was a big-time back, and Seth, had it not been for the off-the-field issue, and that was serious. There was no question about it. He would have been one of the top 15, 16 players in that draft. He was that good of a player. And now without A.J. Green and without Eifert, they have to rely on Joe Mixon to be the guy for them to kind of carry the load offensively. And he's just not a runner. He is also a very competent receiver coming out of the backfield. Quick story, at Manning camp, Baker Mayfield and I were talking in the interview session, and I asked him about who he trusted out on the field, and he brought up, you know, Mark Andrews. He said, I always look for my tight end in certain down distance situations, but he said, you know who's always open? Joe Mixon. He said he knows how to run a route. He said he sort of fools you a little bit when he comes out of the backfield. And he said, man, once he gets those shoulders squared, you don't want to be in his way. Because he said he can do one of two things, either run over you or run right past you. So I thought that was interesting coming from Baker in that style offense where you wouldn't think the backs are heavily involved. They are. And he really talked highly of Joe Mixon, not only as a player, and he said, listen, he had the incident, and that, you know, and Baker Mayfield's been in trouble too. He said, listen, we all do dumb things in life. We all pay the price. He's paid his price. But for the rest of his life, that tape's going to be out there for him.
Yep.
And like you said, that's serious. When you're always going to have carrying that burden. And like you said, you know, you do a lot of dumb things at 18, 19 years old, and sometimes it's really serious. And we're not in his shoes at that moment, but you know you can't lay a hand on a woman. He should have known better in that particular spot.
Yeah.
But again, he's a big time player, Seth. Ain't no question about it.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. High motor, and Mayfield, obviously, very high motor guy. If we go over to the defense, they're really struggling, the Bengals. But one high motor guy who's, well, I guess he's kind of entering the grizzled vet stage of his career, and I've loved him and his progression in the league, is Geno Atkins. You talk about one of the best interior pass rushers in the NFL. This guy has 67 sacks in his career, 9 sacks the last couple of years, and 6 already this year. And, Mike, you know this. This was a guy that wasn't that highly thought of coming out of Georgia.
He had been a very inconsistent football player at Georgia, where he would flash it and then you wouldn't see it for a while. I know I'm getting old in this business because I remember his dad, Gene, who was on the Saints football team. He was a safety with the Saints, Gene Atkins, telling me about his son, Geno Atkins. He was like, man, one day I'm telling you, he is going to be a big-time player. But he said, he's a lot bigger than me, you know, because you look at Geno, you know, he's 6'1 or so, 300 and something pounds. But I think once he went to the combine and people saw his athletic ability, where at almost 300 pounds, he ran a 4.76 40-yard dash. He did 34 reps of 225. So you saw the strength, you saw the speed, the quickness. He went through the drills tremendously well. But what was about him that stuck out? He was quick to diagnose what was breaking down on the field. What he's gotten much better at, Seth, is his ability to explode off the line of scrimmage and get into the backfield. And he does it consistently now. He wasn't that way at Georgia as a college player. So he's matured. He's gotten better with his techniques. You see him, and he is an all-pro. He's not just a Pro Bowl player. He's an all-pro player, and he causes a lot of havoc in the middle. And they've got a lot of what I would call tall, skinny guys coming off the edge. Well, ain't nothing tall and skinny about Geno Atkins. Man, he's a guy that gives it to you. He's physical. He's also really good in run support. And he's been the pillar of that defense since he's come in 2010. Right off the bat, you could see that guy had the it factor. And he was a middle-round pick. And so a lot of people in that 2010 draft, they weren't quite sure about him and how well his motor would run. It ain't asking that question today.
No, 6-time Pro Bowler, twice selected to the first team All-Pro teams. And you see that he ran a 4.76 40. Was that it, Mike? That's interesting because that was at 300 pounds.
302 pounds. He ran a 4.76. But here was the most impressive thing. He had a 33-inch vertical jump.
Oh, man.
Listen, that's getting that weight up in the air pretty good. That's all I can tell you. So you can't run away from him, and if he catches you, you better not try to jump the fence to get away from him because he can do that too. No, he's just been on a team. If he'd have played in New York or in Dallas or out on the West Coast, man, he'd be a household name today. He's that good of a player in the interior, and while he doesn't have the pass rush skills of an Aaron Donald, he brings it each and every week, just like what Donald has done for the Rams, he's done for the Bengals inside.
Yeah, indeed. And that 4.76 number, Mike, I was 220 at Washington State, and I ran a 4.76, not a 302, so that tells you how fast he can go there. That's impressive, man. That's impressive. Mike Dottiglia's Draft Day Reflections brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center of the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. Mike, this one was fun. You got a prediction for us real quick?
I think it's razor close. I think the Saints win this 27-24. But I think the Bengals give them a real tussle here. The Bengals have been a good home team, And, yeah, eventually, you know, nothing is straight in this league. There's always ebb and a flow. And this may be one of those ebb moments where maybe you're not at your best. And I think the Bengals keep this close. But the one thing I think is huge for the Saints, they got number 9, and the Bengals got Andy Dalton.
There you go. Mike, it's a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Seth.
All right, Mike Dettillier, there he goes. We'll take a break. Back with Steve Court for more of the Acadian Windows Fans First Take as we get ready for Saints-Bengals right here on WWL.
Breeze under center, pitches out to the left to Kamara, has Armstead in front, across the 10, shakes the first tackler, across the goal line, Alvin Kamara, touchdown!
I'm going to need him to be big again today. Welcome back, Steve Court back in here. And here's a text, Steve, that I think you would agree with this one. Everybody's acting like we're about to play the Bills or Giants. Cincinnati is a 5-3 ball club.
Exactly. I don't know why anybody is thinking that somehow, some way, because it's the Cincinnati Bengals that we should go in there and just sort of walk over this, or you know, the standpoint of this is going to be something we're going to go up and lay down on because, you know, it's a trap game and, you know, we're not thinking about it and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't happen in this league. I'm just telling you. You know, we might come out flat, or some teams come out flat from time to time, but I can tell you right now, that's not the way they go about business in the National Football League. I mean, each and every week you have a breakdown of every single team, and the focus is on that team. And I can tell you right now, when you look at tape, and people have heard me say this before, I used to go out all the time, and I remember going back in the locker room, we'd break down the first part of tape, and I'd say, man, I don't know how we're going to stop these guys. And some of the defensive players say, well, what do you mean? I said, these guys are really good up front. You
right.
know, what's their record? I don't even know what their record is. I don't care what their record is. They just look like they're unstoppable. We got to get our act together, you know. And each and every week we do that. And so it was a thing where I always said, man, these are guys that are really good players.
So when you're preparing for a guy like Geno Atkins, we just heard Mike talk about there, who I think he's a Hall of Fame guy, by the way. He's heard me say 2 All-Pro teams, 6 times Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for a guy like that? Is he a little like Aaron Donald, same kind of thing? Maybe not. It's not as good. I'm not saying he's good,
no,
but similar in how you prepare for him.
The only reason he's not any as good is because he doesn't have just the number of sacks usually that Aaron Donald has. His pass rush skills are not quite what Aaron Donald's are. But other than that, he does everything as good as Aaron Donald. I mean, as far as like run stuff and things like that, I'm not sure that he might not be a little better at that. You know, but the guy is disruptive as hell. I mean, he's a problem, and he hits that gap so hard. He plays really, really well on the edges. He's low. He's hard to get hold of. It's one of those things where you know that your center and both your guards, again, this week, they'll have to approach this the exact same way that they approach Aaron Donald. You say, look, it's one of those deals where, you know, you got to get your feet underneath you. You got to make sure your hands are right. You got to make sure your technique's sound. And you got to stop his initial charge. I mean, you have to stop his initial charge. Otherwise, he's going to catch the – you know, he's going to hit that gap on you, and once he does, you're toast. So, you know, these guys are like running backs that, you know, are sitting in the defensive line positions, like gigantic running backs that they're playing, you know, and that's how quick they are as far as being able to hit the gap and those types of things.
And
so that's how you prepare for that. But you have to know where he is. He's not a game plan guy. It's not like where you just say, man, we got to – wherever this guy's at, it's not like a Lawrence Taylor type, but you got to know where he's at.
They will today, and we'll call his name quite a bit, I think. Geno Atkins, defensive tackle for the Bengals. 6 sacks this year. Back after this on the Acadian Windows. Fans First Take, getting ready for Saints-Bengals on WWL. All right, it's Fans First Take. You know, I've been loving this weather, Steve. We were talking. You got to love this weather, too, man.
Well, I do love the weather. I get a little bit of dry air and some semblance of coolness, I'm completely jacked up about it. Absolutely.
Yeah. You and I, this is our kind of weather, man. Speaking of the weather, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's supposed to be cold. In fact, it's about 30 degrees right now up in Cincinnati. Will that be a factor? Also, this Bengals defense, boy, they're bad, Steve. Now, Atkins is good. We said that. This defense as a whole, not good. We'll talk about that next hour, too.
Yeah, we will.
He's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap. Getting you set for Saints-Bengals today. Coming up at noon, this is the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.